Session number 12247, Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 15.
Mr. J. Weddle, Reel 15. You were gathered together, Mr. Weddle, to march away from Danzig. How was the information given to you, and how was it organised?
Well, Danzig was a working camp, plus was hospital there. And anyway, took ill on those sandland places, you know, and because it was near as far as reaches actual pooling, you know, and went at the Stolzenberg, which was the camp, top of the hill, because there was a medical officer there, a Dr. Ross, I think, from a Highland regiment. And so it was after the new year, and the weather had broke, snow heavy, sleet, ice, and it was starting to get really cold. And lads started coming in from outlanding places with all that kit, some in a bad way, because some had to march about 30 kilometres, you know, 10 or 20 miles and, through the night. And they were right state, some of them. So we knew something was happening in any case. And then they went through the grapevine there. They had brought in that the Russians were near some of the places where they had been. And so the news in the camp was, well, they come here and get me, or the Germans will shift. And then they came through there. I suppose some of the lads had went to see the senior and see you in the camp. In fact, I don't know his name, I don't think I met him actually. It was a big camp, you know. And we got through, we'll be moving. That's when we got one across parcels, whatever there was in the camp, dished out and told to move in there. Line up in the morning time, about 9 o'clock, and ready to move off.
Do you recall what date that the march
no,
started?
No, it's it must have been about the 10th to 15th of January, I reckon, with the weather. So it was after the New Year, because I had Christmas and the New Year in that camp with me being sent there, because I had a scalp disease at the time, and that's all happened to be there.
What was your own response to the fact that you were going to go on this very long march away from the Russians in the middle of winter?
It wasn't very good after seeing the conditions of some of the lads who was coming to camp, and especially some of the Indian soldiers. They were in a terrible way, and some of them lads had no Red Cross posses or anything like that, you know, they had none in their camps, and the lads had give a whip round to give them something out of what we had, you know. And so that's a win, and we had orders to just move, and this German officer got them all lined up, and had a flat, four-wheeled, pneumatic-tired cart, float, a pony, small pony, and that had all the Germans' equipment on the float, and then Sergeant, we're moving off here, we don't know where we're going, we're just moving away from Danzig, because the Russians have pushed through. And we said, well, it's a march, and we'll let the guy kind of out of the wood. Some lads were thinking they're escaping, but it was risky. I mean, Danzig was full of SS troops, and you get shot in any case of the court, they wouldn't be bothered with you, you know. So the lad said, seemed to get the order, keep together, see what happens. Some of the lads were loaded, of course, and says, oh, well, here's another march, 1940, which was a bit better. We're going back more or less at the end of the war instead of the beginning. And that was handy, that knowing. And that was the difference.
Did it strike you that ultimately you were heading west towards your own
Well, we didn't know which way we were going. Actually, it was just we were going away from the Russians. And that was it. So the lads just started a trek and then went on. When he got tired, he rested. But
were the rest organised or were they just...
No, the guards got a certain place. They were halted by refugees, even the Germans there and the Poles were. Start to keep up on the roads and the horses and carts and barrels, and that made the roads worse because steep as snow. And when your feet went in and a horse's feet went in, and during the night it used to freeze bitterly cold, and it was just like next morning was just like watching our little heaps. Oh, it killed your feet. It was terrible, just marching and resting. And we just fed off what I cross parcels. Tried to, at the end of the day, it got dark, you marched till dark. You rested when you were tired, but you had to keep up. And anybody that dropped out with illness, they were putting them on the wagon. And the first day was just walk, just resting when you were tired. And if you were halted by some reason or that in the front. And of course, German troops want to move as well, you know. In fact, it was freezing hard, and it was something you went 1 yard in a towback sort of thing and slipping and sliding. It was in a terrible state. And you're frightened to go up the road because some of these roads were raised up and it was. Drifts either side, you know, and the wind was bitterly cold. Luckily, most of us had British Army top coats, which was a godsend. We didn't have them in 1940 because everything was taken up. This time, we had that, and that was the saviour. And some lads were that tired, they were throwing them away, which didn't make sense to me. I says, they weren't under forced watch. Must have been taken Italy or something like that, you know. Because no way did you throw your equipment away for keeping you cool, warm at night. Because the nights get bitterly cold. So we just walked and walked. And these were sell for Red Cross parcels. I was lucky for the lads on my small camp where I had been in Stripow. That was on the edge of Danzig Free State in Poland. And they had come into the camp. And I got joined with them, for them, anyway. And there was three of them, and there were four of us all together. And one had come from Saturson.
Remember any of the names?
Met the four lads was Ted Bourne, he come from Saturson, he was in the NFs with the motorcycle battalion taken in France, and he was taken in he wasn't taken in others. Got to cut the pieces somewhere else. And Ginger Glover, he was a machine gunner, I think. He come from Birmingham, Castle Brummage. And Alfie Henderson, he was a footman to the Lord down Hampshire, an old regular soldier. He was a reservist, actually. And artillery, Royal Horse Artillery, that's how he got his job, through his colonel. And he had been a batman and everything, you know. And he started as a footman, and he finished up as a butler, footman butler. And, nice lad, aren't he? Good lad to have with you. Sensible, you know. Any advice you had to listen to him, old regular soul. He'd been in India, and he had a bad stomach, so nosed him in a bad stomach, but he was good with his advice. Like, I listened to him, because I was just young, you see. Yeah, so there was four way, and used to share whatever we had, and which was you had to share with somebody. You couldn't do it on your own. Otherwise,
this was the usual pattern.
That was the usual pattern. It had to be, because if you couldn't open a parcel, if you opened a tin, you had to eat it, and it wouldn't keep to the next meal. So you could have one tin between the four of you and something else, and make a a bit of a meal, and if you got a loaf of bread, scrounged you one, or bought it for one. Because we're still in Poland, you know. Yeah. That's how it went. Because the Joan used to just get about a loaf of bread, one between five, and hot it was boldy.
Did the Germans...
One getting much food off them, you know.
The Germans didn't give you very much food.
No, at that time they were just looking after themselves. But they kept you on the move. Orders went, we hold through there, along the column. Keep together in Devon Garuda Line. Because the first night, we went to a bit of a forest. And we could see the flashes of the Russian guns, you know. And we from Dunman were marking, you know. They seemed to be following me, you know. So the night would have been dark, you know. I could see the flashes. And there was no sign. It was stopping. Just move. And there was rifle shots and pistol shots going on in the forest. So we were seeing there must be some poor Russian caught in there, some out of his own, just shooting them, you know. The snow was not coming down, you know, it was about 2 foot deep at the time. And they were just glad to get away from that damn cold wind, because we used to take our turns, us four, to stand in the wind side and shelter the other ones, which Johnny didn't know, you know, the sensible lads anyway. And that's how we got on. If we didn't miss each other, later in the day, we got together and we looked for somewhere to get our head down. And the first night, when it was dark, nowhere to, couldn't see the guards. Guards went, well, let's get what he's doing somewhere, you know. And went to this farmhouse, doing a path. How we got doing a path? Doing now, we just seen this light flickering, you know. Went in this poorish farmhouse. I thought I'd tell you, it was the most frightened them house, to tell you the truth. But they had a fire. They were sitting close up in the fire, and a little laddie was in a bunk. Them kind of bunks in their beds, had big bunks, you know, and I think they slept around the kitchen for warmth, actually. Like, and they said he was ill, you know, through the signs, you know, and we said, can we make some tea, warm water? Whacked dumb, they were frightened, we could see they were frightened, saying the lad, Alfie and Ginger says, put the kettle on, Jimmy, make ourselves some hot tea, we'll make some cocoa for the laddie, because we were the parsley, you see, and right, and maybe I sell some tea and something to eat. Had some soup, tin soup, and made a little meal for ourselves. And we asked them if I had any bread, and they gave us some poor homemade bread, you know, the big flat bread, and made with rye and potatoes, I think. Some put the potatoes in, some didn't, and gave the laddie some cocoa, and said, well, what about a wash? Get ourselves warmed up here with it, because you could still feel the cold, you know. And try and find somewhere to sleep in a barn, somewhere if they had a barn. It was only like a small hole in place we were in, you know. And after we got a wash, didn't bother with shaving, it was there. But we washed and we felt a little bit better. Father, we were tired, but we didn't want to get out in the cold wind, you know. It was damp wind, freezing wind. When you went there, you could feel it freezing on your face, you know. And one of the lads said, he says, you know, these people here are terrified. It was an old woman, an old man, and an elderly, a bit younger man. So I took it to be the son. And the laddie in the cut, and he never went by the laddie. And just sat and sipped his cocoa. The lad said, I think he's terrified, you know, in case the Germans catch us here. And frightened of getting shot. Which, I mean, it did happen, you know. Mm-hmm. Said, I will get my gear on and go out and find somewhere else to go. So we went outside in the cold again, but we felt a bit better. At least we were clean and had something in my stomach, right? And had a hot drink. Took some water with me, and went up the road and come into the barn. So we stopped in the barn that night, tucked into the barn, made we settled down, and we went flat out to sleep. We had clothes on, like, top coats over, and first night we just put our top coats over each one of you, you know, and slept till the lights the next morning, got up and was stiff, tired, and we better get back and see what's happening here. And we were looking for the, there was no way I could make a fire for a cup of tea, only that, we just got our place together and went out and wait for the road. We and God on the road, we just time with to move further along and just went. There was nowhere to go. It was a waste of time going off the road. You get lost, in the deep snow, you know. So we just trudged on again, and all the lads were together there. And but the doctor was having a bit of a rough time with the lads having bad feet, and he would stop. If we did have a stop, he'd see the blisters on the lads' feet, you know, and I think he was having a bit of a bad time himself. You know, so he did a good job, you know. He was more, he didn't rest, he was helping the...
Is this the Dr. Ross?
Dr. Ross.
What time did the march restart on a morning?
Daylight. As soon as he got daylight, and he sorted you up, and he didn't call, he just marched you, then God save his side again, and the horse with the still pulling the float with the... But the Germans tackle on, and if the lads got ill, put the lads on the cart till they got to the next reasonable town, and they dropped them off in an hospital, as far as I understand. They weren't there the next morning, so I take it for granted they'll put off at some medical case to get attention, you see.
So there was no attempt to count you or say that
you were
there?
Oh, well, I suppose they would make an estimate, but there was no check or near names for the first four days and nights. Anybody could have gotten out the march, but where could they go? No, there was nowhere could they go. They could get shot by the Russians. They were going to take no chances. The SS and all the... And they were still fanatics, you know, and they were still fighting, and they wouldn't be bothered taking prisoners. They were too busy looking after themselves in the cold, same as war guards. But there was no brutality or nothing in our guards, not in our column anyway. And... just that the lads were tired, some of the lads were throwing a top coat away and they were suffering. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's their fault, should have been old enough not to do that, you know.
Why did they throw top coats away?
Too heavy,
in that temperature?
That's what I'm saying, nobody could understand them. Taking part of that pack, sort of, you know, it just didn't make sense. At the end of the day, I wanted that, you know.
What were you carrying?
Just for particular things I picked up during my prisoner war years. And food. I was lucky I had just my battle dress, mm-hmm. which was new, because we'd get about a year ago before, and the top coat, and we had a forage hat, which you could put over ears, plus I'd gotten 2 year muffs given by a German farmer, and he wore them over the ears, and that put a bit of weight on, you know. That kept the ears warm. And I had a pair of mitts that had been handmade. I got them as a gift at Christmas time. And then the Christmas before.
What did you carry the stuff in?
Well, I needed to get myself a haversack. I think it was a Polish army haversack, wasn't a British one. And I managed to get a little side haversack, like a bit bigger than a gas mask. I think it was a Polish army one. It wasn't a British one and all that. And but big enough to carry. Some lads had suitcases. Where they got the suitcases from, I don't know. But to carry a suitcase is a bad way to carry anything. You've got to have it on your shoulders, on your hips, you know, and keep your hands free if you're gonna march anywhere. Cases a waste of time, but we were going on, but when two of our feet made,